Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, ever thankful for the unconditional love you show toward us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and doing so much for us, even in our state of sin. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to this earth to give himself on our behalf and to suffer and to be slain at Calvary. Lord, we pray that someone this evening wants to obey that old story, how your Son died for us, and in you raising him from the dead, gave him all power and all authority. And with that blood, he was able to purchase his church, the Church of Christ, and that he is willing to save anybody who will obey that gospel and be immersed in the water where they come in contact with your precious blood. We pray, Lord, tonight that Brother Reggie Berry tell us the truth about your Son, Jesus, who is not just your Son, but who is also our Savior. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flutter. We appreciate so very much working with you, and we are so thankful tonight to have each and every person on the call who's on the call tonight. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. And we are so, so thankful for the success of this meeting, excited about being able to continue it in the month of November as well. But tonight we have a great preacher on the call. To our visitors who are not members of the Church of Christ, please take your Bible, open it up, and follow along with our speaker tonight. Pay attention to the things that he will say as pertains to saving of your precious soul. In the person of Brother Reggie Berry from Killeen, Texas, a good friend of mine, and his wife, my wife's best friend, and they were very close, and we all got baptized around the same time and obeyed the gospel. And he's a very sound preacher, and tonight he's going to talk about Jesus, the Savior. So, Brother Bill, have you not read the theme? Tell us about Jesus, the Savior. Brother Bill.
First, I'd like to say good evening to everyone. I'm glad you're on the line. And I want to thank Brother Brooks and Brother Flounder for the invitation to speak to you this evening on this nationwide gospel meeting call. From the theme, have you not read? I want to speak about, have you not read about Jesus, the Savior? You know, during these times of uncertainty, with the COVID-19 glooming all over the world, and it's getting worse, we all must find a Savior. But what do we mean by Savior? Well, a Savior is a deliverer, a person who saves or rescues someone from danger. It could be applied to anyone who saves from anything. But we're going to consider Jesus the Savior. Well, what did Jesus come to save man from? Did he come to save man from disease and illness? Well, no, Jesus did not come to save man from disease and illness. Did he come to save man from heartaches and disappointments? Well, no, Jesus did not come to save man from heartaches and disappointments. Well, what did Jesus come to save man from? Jesus came to save man from the punishment of sin. Yes, Jesus can heal us from our disease and illnesses. He can deliver us from heartaches and disappointments. But Jesus came to save man from the punishment of sin. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." We find recorded in Luke chapter 2, verse number 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then John the Baptist said in John 1 and 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors, all have sinned. Well, what is sin? Well, sin comes from the Greek word polymatia, which means missing the mark. You know, many years ago, when men shot bows and arrows, when they missed the target, they cried, "I sinned." Well, God's word is our target tonight. When we fail to do his will, we sin. All have sinned. Romans 3:23, the scripture says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The apostle Paul wrote in Romans 3:9, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." See, man could not save himself. Man could do nothing to take away his sin. See, man had to be redeemed. And redeemed means brought back. And God's way in bringing men back in his divine presence is through blood sacrifice. Leviticus 17:11, the scripture says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. There is life in the blood. From Adam unto Jesus, the man of God used animal blood as a sacrifice to God." Now, animals are not equal to man. So animal blood could not take away man's sin. Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 10:3-4. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Again in Hebrews 10:11. "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." And so something better than man had to be offered for man's sin. And the only thing better than man would be a sinless man, a perfect man. And that is what Jesus was. He never sinned. Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 4:5, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him." You see, the sinless blood of Jesus takes away man's sin. John says in 1 John 3:5, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." See, Jesus was crucified for man's sin. Yes, Jesus left heaven to come to this earth to be tempted like man, yet he never sinned. Yeah, God gave his only son to die for man's sin. Apostle Paul, while in prison, he wrote to the Philippians, Philippians 2:5-8. Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yes, Jesus, the Savior, he became a man to save us. Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 2:17-18, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Yes, Jesus, the Savior, never sinned, but he was crucified for ours. John chapter 3, in verse number 14, Nicodemus, a Pharisee who came to Jesus by night, Jesus told Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, referring to his cross. Yes, Jesus was to heal the world. Well, how? By shed his blood and dying on that cross, and on the third day rise again. Yes, Jesus, the Savior, yeah, he knew what was going to happen to him. And he began showing his disciples what was about to happen to him for the salvation of the world. We find recorded in Matthew 16, verse 21, the Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Yes, Jesus, our Lord, he knew they were plotting to kill him. And so Jesus began to prepare his disciples with that form of doctrine, Romans chapter 6, that would be taught to all nations, Matthew 28:19-20. And his death on the cross would represent salvation through his suffering, through his death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. But tell me, why are so many preachers today preaching a prosperity doctrine, preaching doctrine of men, doctrines of miraculous power through men? Listen, we must preach the power of the cross. Yes, we must preach salvation from sin. Why? Because sin is the problem tonight. Yes, sin is what we must be concerned with. Jesus saves man from the punishment of sin, and we must be reminded of what Jesus did for us on the cross. We must understand tonight the significance of men preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1-5, 1-4, moreover, brethren, Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Paul says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Now, what did Paul preach? Well, Paul preached that form of doctrine that was once delivered, the doctrine that all men must obey for the salvation of their soul. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And see, all of Jesus' apostles, they delivered the same message to rescue people from their sins. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 22-23, after Jesus had told his disciples that he would die in Jerusalem, the scripture says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, sin, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall never be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You see, the idea of Jesus suffering and dying on the cross and being raised from the dead is what the world needs to hear. It's what we need to teach to a lost and dying world. Mark 8:31-32, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And now Jesus openly said to his disciples that he would rise again. Not only would he die, but that he would rise again. But first Jesus was suffered many things by his own people, the Jews. The scripture teaches us in Luke 24:7, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Now his own people, the Jews, see, they cried out to Pilate, crucify him. That's what they did. They said, crucify him. You see, the Jews did not personally nail Jesus to the cross, but they were responsible for what happened to him. And so they had the Romans to do it for them. You see, crucifixion was the most cruel way man had devised to put a human being to a torturous death. See, first, Jesus was nailed to a cross. And then the cross was raised and dropped into a hole. Jesus was nailed to the cross at about 9 o'clock a.m., Mark 15:25, with two thieves on either side. He hung there in agony for 3 long hours until noon. In the afternoon, the sun refused to shine until about 3 o'clock p.m., Matthew 27:45, and that is when our Lord Jesus died. For 6 long hours, he was tormented by crucifixion. We find Peter preached about the crucifixion. He referred to the cross as a tree in Acts 5:29-30. The scripture says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we are to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Again, in Acts 10:38-39, the scripture says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And Peter says, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Yes, Peter is speaking of Jesus, the Savior of the world. See, he was there. Even the Apostle Paul is preaching the same message in Acts 13:28-29. Paul says, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sculpture. Again, the Apostle Paul showed why why Jesus would hang on a tree in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. See, Paul said Jesus became a curse to redeem us. In Galatians 3:13, the scripture says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. See, here Paul quotes from the law of Moses in Deuteronomy 21, 22, and 23. Then again, Peter wrote about the events of Jesus' death in 1 Peter 2, verse number 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Did you notice that the tree and the cross are synonymous? They are one and the same. Galatians 6 and 14, Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 2 and 16. Paul says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. See, now Paul indicates that all men, Jew and Gentile, will be reconciled into one body by the cross. And see, Paul is referring to the body of Jesus the Savior. Yeah, God is going to put all the saved into one body. See, Jesus died on the cross for the one body. Hebrews 12 and 2, the scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul said to the Colossians, Colossians 1 and verse number 18, Paul says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, that Jesus might have the preeminence, superiority. See, Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Look at Colossians 1 and 20. The scripture says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. See, Jesus the Savior is who we look to for our salvation tonight. Isaiah the prophet, he prophesied how Jesus would die and become the Savior of the world. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 7. The prophet says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. See, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The prophet says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. seat. Jesus said nothing. Yeah, he was despised and rejected of men. But Jesus said to Peter before he went to that cross in Matthew 16 and 18, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it." You see, the church is where Jesus, the Savior, will place the saved. Those that are in his church will have a hedge of protection around them, just as Job did. His church is the ark of safety for those who obey him, just as Noah and his family did. It would be for those that obey that form of doctrine preached by his apostles and faithful men today. And when one obeys that form of doctrine, and that is the doctrine of Christ, Jesus will add them to his church. See, Peter knew that Jesus was the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so Jesus told Peter that he would build his church. But even the church of Christ is despised and rejected of men. That's why the summer says in 127th division in verse number 1, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." Now we find on the day of Pentecost, time AD 33, this is when the only church you can read about in your Bible began. Peter had just confronted those Jews, those who had shouted, "Crucify him," those who put Jesus to death in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 41. "But now, when they heard what Peter had to say to them, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.'" See, Peter is preaching that form of doctrine to those men who had put Jesus to death. He goes on to say, "For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." See, we must continue even tonight to preach that form of doctrine. And then he went on to say, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, 'Save yourselves from this untoward generation.' Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." See, once you obey Jesus this evening, once you obey that form of doctrine, Jesus will save you from the punishment of sin. And after he saves you, he will add you to his church, where you will have a hedge of protection around you, like Job had, protecting you from the wrath of God, protecting you from the punishment of sin. And Jesus is still adding obedient people to his church. Romans 6, 17 and 18, Paul says, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." You know, the scripture said that an angel announced his birth. And the angel said, "In the city of David, a Savior would be born, which is Christ the Lord." See, Jesus was said to be the Savior, Acts 5 and 31. "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 and 9, "Who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You see, before the foundation of the world, it was God's eternal purpose that Jesus would die for mankind. And he's coming back. Titus 2, 13 through 14. Paul says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. See, one day we will see our Father in heaven, and we can look forward to our Savior Jesus coming back. Yes, Jesus, the Savior, is coming back. See, the scripture teaches us that he's coming back suddenly. And so we must be ready. See, someone need to obey from the heart that form of doctrine tonight, who gave himself for us, that we might that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Yes, Jesus is the Savior, and we must follow his steps. We must obey his commands. But there are some people that refuse to follow his doctrine. What shall we do? 2 John 9 through 11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. But what shall we do? What should we do if people continue to reject and despise the doctrine of Christ? Reject and despise the church of Christ where Jesus placed the saved. Verse number 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You see, not obeying the doctrine of Christ is an evil deed. Following the right doctrine is serious. God is serious about the doctrine of Christ. It's his only begotten Son's doctrine. If we would please God, we would make all things according to the doctrine of Christ. See, Jesus did not come down from heaven and suffer and die a cruel death on the cross for us to take his word lightly. We must do all things according to the doctrine of Christ. It is Jesus who saves. We must do things according to God, just as Job did, and just as Noah did, and Abraham, and Moses. And as I close, and I know I'm over, 1 John 4 and 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So how are we saved tonight? By the precious blood of Jesus, we are saved. Jesus saves us from what? Well, Jesus saves us from the punishment of sin. And then he adds us to his church. He died and gave his blood on the cross for the church, Acts 20 and 28. The perfect sinless man, Jesus, died to be the Savior of all mankind. Yes, he died on the cross to give his blood for those who will believe and obey him. Yes, we must obey him. See, those who are on the line this evening, and you're not a member of the Church of Christ. See, many people don't know that Jesus adds people to his church. See, in some churches, people are voted in by man. But when one obeys the doctrine of Christ, Jesus adds you to his church. And he also adds your name to the book of life. And so we invite you to come to Jesus tonight by faith. Turn over your life to him. Yes, Jesus invites you to come to him. This is the Savior's invitation. Come by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. See, Jesus wants you to believe his word, repent, change, do things his way, and make that great confession before men that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be buried with him in the watery grave of baptism into his death. And he will add you to his church. Yes, obey that form of doctrine. Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. We must obey Jesus even tonight. Have you not read about Jesus the Savior? That's my time. I now turn it over to Brother Brooks.
Thank you, Brother Barry. We appreciate you so very much for taking the time to join us on the call and speak for us tonight. Certainly a topic that we all can appreciate and love God for, his son, Jesus the Savior. We appreciate that message, and we're so thankful that you have delivered it in such a plain way. If you're on the call tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we did put this call on with you in mind. We wanted you to know that in the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right and that the word of the Bible is right. We do believe Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary with nails in his hands and his feet. And there he hung, we believe, not because we ever saw that with our eyes, but because of this book called the Bible. And so we want you to know that. We want you to know this message is that he saves the world. Those who want to be saved will be obedient to him. So if you want to be saved tonight, you want to obey the gospel, you can do that by being baptized. If you want to be baptized and get back with the person who invited you to hear this message tonight, invite you to our call and tell them you want to get baptized. Or perhaps you want more teaching. You can get with that person, or you can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we make the arrangements no matter where you are. We make the arrangements for you to hear this gospel truth and to be taught, to answer all your questions, or make arrangements for you to be baptized. Wherever you are, we can take care of that for you. Or maybe you want to go back and listen to Brother Barry's message tonight. He'll be on our website tomorrow morning. We'll upload it tonight. You go on there and download it. Just go to HighlandHeightsCoc.net. That's HighlandHeightsCoc.net. Brother Barry's message with there. All the men that have come on since the month of May. You can go there and listen to it. Just go to the sermons and click on Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. And all those sermons are there in the lessons and different topics. Perhaps you may need to know more. Just go ahead and download them. You can listen to them and at your own leisure, and take your time, and take notes, and study for yourself. We're confident if you study behind us, if you read what we teach, you too will obey that gospel, and you'll be a member of the only church in the Bible that is the Church of Christ. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for this night you've given us. Thank you for all you've done, the love you showed to the world. And there's no greater love than what Jesus said his life, he laid down his life for his friends. And that was the greatest love to ever be demonstrated to man. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his blood that washed our sins in baptism. The same blood purchased his church, the bride, his bride, the Church of Christ. And Father, we pray for our listening audience tonight, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. They too understand that we speak in your word in love. We're speaking the truth in love. And they will receive it now with meekness. No one is able to save their souls. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name, your son. Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. Please come back again tomorrow night. Our co-host, Brother Anthony Fleming, will close it out for the month of October. If there was no shedding of blood. You don't want to miss Brother Fleming. He'll bring a great message tomorrow night. Then get ready. We'll kick off next Monday night. Brother Brooks, I'll come on myself. You need to know about that second Adam, the last Adam. There was one Adam. There's another Adam you need to know about. Join us next week. And then the whole month of November, we have what we call the Father-Son. So we have a solo on Monday night for Tuesday And Wednesday, Thursday, probably be a father and son combination. Oh, it'll be a great month, great month. We're looking forward to having all of you. Please invite someone to the call. We're excited to have our liaison, Brother Darian Michael, working with us in Okinawa, Japan. They're going to be joining us on our call as well. And so we're spreading the gospel globally now. And we're so excited that he's working with us over there. And if you have someone on the base in Okinawa that's not a member of Church Christ, perhaps your children, somebody in the military, we got someone over there, and they're going to be joining our call. And we encourage you to tell your friends and family, those in the military, to join the call, that they can hear the truth preached on this call each night from 9 to 9:30. We thank you so very much for joining us tonight. We love you. May God bless you. I pray you have a good night's rest.